Hey there, listeners. This is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. In just under 1 month, I'm going to be hosting an online seminar called Veterans in Consulting. It's on Wednesday, January 17th at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. That's 6 o'clock in the evening on the West Coast and 9 o'clock in the evening on the East Coast. We're going to be featuring three different veterans, all of whom went from active duty directly to consulting. And if you are in any way, shape, or form even thinking about doing a career in consulting, I highly recommend you pre-register on our website. We are going to cover everything you need to know within a 75-minute window, including an open Q&A period. It's a brand new format. It'll be using a Zoom video conference, so you'll see me and the three panelists on video. And if you want to be on video as well, we'll see you as well. And really excited for this dialogue and conversation. So don't wait. Pre-register today. And if this is a format that you like and the community responds well to, I'll start to do this for other industries as well. Thanks and enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and for long-term listeners, you know that usually on the show, I dive into an interview, a coffee chat with a veteran about their civilian career, what they do, how they'd explain it to someone on active duty, and how exactly they got there. In over 130 interviews, my perspective is that veterans can do absolutely anything. That could be an author like Andrew Watts in episode number 95. That can be an ESPN and Playboy photographer like Chris Pestel in episode number 52. That can even be a walk-on football player who eventually becomes an NFL player for the Seattle Seahawks, Nate Boyer, in episode 84. They can do absolutely anything, but, and there is a big but, most veterans drastically underestimate what it takes to get there. So my intention in this show is to give you the tools, advice, and tips to help you get there as efficiently as possible. And if you are listening to this show, my hat's off to you because you are learning from others. You are borrowing advice. You are figuring out what mistakes others have made. Hopefully you can avoid those mistakes. You can draft off the hard work and hard lessons learned of others and get to wherever you want to go a whole heck of a lot faster than pioneering on your own. Today is a data episode. Rather than going through the traditional interview format, I'm diving into some data I've put together around specifically the field of management consulting. And this is the third episode and probably final one for now, but the third episode of this sort. And we're going to be talking today specifically around data related to the top three firms, as ranked by Forbes, the top three management consulting firms. The reason I wanted to dive into this is that in previous episodes, you know, the first one I looked at McKinsey in particular, the second episode I looked at all top 10 consulting firms, a whole host of data, looking at every single thing I could possibly think of to dive into. And I wanted to kind of leave this then, because the final question for me was, okay, what can we learn from vets who have made it directly into a top three firm? I think it always helps to look at lots of examples, but I think it often helps to look at the examples of kind of the best case scenario or the outliers on the higher end. And I know there's just as much to learn from other outliers, but this was just really interesting to me. I hope it is interesting to you as well. If it is, please leave a note in the show notes, email me at justin@beyonduniform.io, submit a contact request online, tweet at me. There's a dozen different ways, but I would love to hear from you. And one last plug before we dive in, if you are benefiting from this show, and I know so many of you are, if you are really enjoying this, I would greatly appreciate a positive review on iTunes. That's kind of the single metric I'm looking to right now to see if this show is making a difference. So take a couple seconds. All you have to do is just type in iTunes Beyond the Uniform, click on ratings and reviews. You can write a review. You can just leave a star rating or some kind words, but both or either would be greatly appreciated. So let's dive in today, and we'll just kind of go freeform through this. I'll just do a quick recap. The methodology I've used is looking at LinkedIn. My hypothesis is that no one fills out a survey, or if they do, the most busy people usually don't, but everyone updates their LinkedIn profile. And by gleaning information about military veterans on LinkedIn, we can get the most accurate picture of what vets are doing in the civilian workplace. No one I know has done this before, so I'm kind of pioneering here. But what I did was I took that Forbes article of the top 10 most prestigious consulting companies. I then looked at vets who are currently or have in the past worked there, over 4,300 LinkedIn profiles. And for this episode, I deep dived into the top three, which they list as number one, McKinsey and Company, number two, BCG or Boston Consulting Group, number three, Bain and Company. And so here's what I found. First of all, let's talk about branch of service. 50% of veterans at a top-tier consulting firm currently, that's as of recording this on December 18th, 2017, 50% of all veterans in these top three firms are from the Army, 35% Navy, 13% Air Force, 2% Marine Corps, and no one currently I could find from the Coast Guard. So, you know, takeaways there, the majority is coming from the Army. For some reason right now, Army and Navy are kind of at the top. Air Force is lower on that. And then Marine Corps is not surprising. I didn't adjust this for population, but just given their smaller numbers, I'd expect it to be lower, around 2%. I then looked at time in service, just for what that's worth. How long do these people serve in the military before going on to consulting? Army was at 6.1 years. Navy was the second highest at 7.7. Air Force was the lowest at 5.8 years of service. And Marine Corps was 8 years of service. And so takeaways from that, I don't know, the Marines served for the longest, and everyone else was about that point. It was just interesting to me that on average, people are getting out, what, I guess that's right, if you're an officer, that's right after your initial service, if you went to like a service academy. Some people are staying in for that shore tour, but most are getting out after that, at that, you know, even with the Marines, that's 8 years of service, and then they're going on. The next thing I looked at was the route. How are people getting there? Similar to what I found in looking at McKinsey, the vast majority is going directly from school, 84%. The overwhelming majority go to some sort of school, and in this case, we'll talk about that, but some sort of schooling, and then they go directly from school to a top three consulting firm. 7% go directly from active duty to a top tier consulting firm. Very, very rare. That's the most rare that I saw. And 9% go to industry first. That's just my way of saying they went and they got some sort of job prior to going into consulting. And I counted that too. If someone went to grad school and then they went to work and then they went to consulting, I considered that industry. I was just looking at the immediate precursor to a top tier consulting gig. Let's look at average length of service though, looked at this route. So if you go to school, you're that 84% that goes to school before a top tier consulting firm. On average, you serve 6.6 years in the military. That was the middle one. For those that went direct though, they serve for 9.4 years on average. That was the longest. So for, you know, it makes a little bit of sense. If you're able to go directly from the military to a top tier consulting firm, you end up serving quite a bit longer. And for those that went from industry, actually on average, they served 5 years. They served the shortest amount of time. They shared, you know, served from a service academy, the bare minimum. They did the 5 years. They got out, they worked in industry, and then they went on to consulting. From here, let's look at those 84% that went to school. So what I looked at here was MBA was the most popular. Actually, let me jump down first of all. Let's talk about highest level of education. So this is looking at everyone. I looked at people who went to directly, people who went to industry, people who went to school. I just looked at everyone to see what was their highest level of education. Some people had multiple degrees. I just kind of arbitrarily categorize them based on that. So here's what I found. 89% have an MBA. The overwhelming majority have an MBA. 4% had an MS, Master's of Science. 0% were college, but that makes sense. Top-tier consulting companies require a master's degree or graduate education or higher. Master's of Arts, there was 1%. Master's of Engineering was 2%. PhD was 3%. 1% had a JD. Actually, I have 1% has a Bachelor of Science, so a couple people did that. I don't know how they did it. Maybe they just didn't list it on their LinkedIn profile, or maybe they were so exceptional that the top-tier consulting firm made an exception. So it is possible you would be part of the 1% in this regard if you do it, but it is apparently possible. Next, I looked at... actually, maybe this is interesting. I don't know if this is going to be kind of death by numbers here. 97% of people who went to school prior to a top-tier consulting firm went to an MBA. We'll dive deeper in that in a second. 1% did a Master's of Engineering. 2% got a PhD. That was the school route if you went directly from school. For the ones who went directly from the military, the highest degree they had, a quarter of the time was an MBA, a quarter of the time was Master of Science, 13% Master's of Arts, 13% Master's of Engineering, 13% PhD, and 13% Juris Doctorate. So interesting that the MBA does not play as big a role for those who are going direct from the military. Anecdotally, and you know, I've got that the Veterans and Consulting panel. A lot of those people pursued a master's degree right after their college or during their active duty service. It makes sense that, you know, in that case, it doesn't really need to be an MBA. It could be an MS or these other degrees. So that distribution, I think, should be encouraging for those of you who want to go directly from active duty to top-tier consulting company. And then for industry, industry was pretty similar to direct from school, but those who went to work and then to consulting, 70% had an MBA, 20% had a Master's of Science, and 10% had a bachelor's degree. So that's where that little population went that did not have a master's degree. Bear all of this in mind. You know, the numbers we're dealing with here are like 120 or so. So not a big sample size, but I still think it's worth looking at. This is everyone I could currently find working at a top-tier consulting firm. Next thing that I did was dove into the MBA program. So for those of you who want to play the odds, you want to be that 84% who goes to school and then gets their MBA, then goes on to top-tier consulting, I wanted to look at what are the most common MBA programs. I'm going to do the top 10 right here. The reason why is that if I'm in your shoes, I'm on active duty, and I want to go into consulting, it's just helpful to start to get familiar and conversant with some of these names. Because if I'm in your shoes, I'm taking notes on this, or I'm looking at the show notes, and these are the schools that I want to start looking at. I want to start finding other vets who I know who are there. I want to talk to Service to School, a great free organization, about these programs, or I just want to start, you know, getting my applications ready for these schools. And quick little tidbit, the applications change very rarely year to year. What I did when I was on active duty is when I was three or four years from getting out, I actually downloaded all these applications, started getting ready. And then when it was, you know, my turn to apply, I was pretty spot on having prepared the applications. Here's what I found. The leader, number one, with 20% of all of these MBAs is Harvard Business School. Qualitatively, my opinion, for what it's worth, Harvard is probably the best known on active duty. It is a large class size, about 900 people. So in each class, there's about 70 vets from what I've seen. And so you've got a pretty big vet population. You've got a better chance of getting into Harvard Business School. It is also commonly ranked as the number one business school. So Harvard was the 20%, and that seemed to be the biggest contingent. Second up was Wharton, 15%. Wharton is in Philadelphia, great school, typically known for finance. That's just, again, my opinion. But they've got a great contingent of consultants, as can be seen by that 15%. Number three was MIT's Sloan School of Management with 7%. Four was Darden, also with 7%. Number five, with 6%, was Chicago's Booth School of Business. Number six, Stanford, 5%. What up, Stanford? That's where I went. Loved it. High plug. Kellogg was number seven with 5%. Quick plug on Stanford and Kellogg. I think these schools are actually very, very similar, and it was funny that they ranked up with the same percentage there. Stanford and Kellogg, as opposed to like the Whartons and the Harvards, which have, you know, I'm guessing 900 people in a class, Stanford and Kellogg have about, my class was 362. Generally, class sizes I see are 350 to 400. So much smaller class size, on average about one third of Wharton or Harvard. My class had six veterans. There's not a lot, as opposed to HBS's 70. So it's just a smaller population overall and in terms of veterans. So I would expect to see numbers smaller when it comes to the consulting firms, just like with the Marine Corps, smaller population size. That's my plug. I'm obviously biased. Go Stanford. Duke was 4%, Tuck was 3%, and Yale was 3%. So again, small numbers, but I think this is just worth listening, looking at if you are thinking of going to a top-tier consulting firm, or if you're just thinking of what business schools you should apply to. I think that's a pretty good list, those 10 right there. I'll put those in the show notes to save you time, and hopefully that is helpful. That is all I've got. I imagine you are dated out. I'm a little dated out. I'm going to take a break from this. I'm considering doing a similar path with finance. The reason why it's a popular veteran career path, it's also similar to consulting in that the career progression is a little bit more standardized, which makes the numbers crunching for me a little bit easier. But I get that this is a little bit of a heavy topic to do by audio. I'm putting out articles on LinkedIn eventually on these topics. I'll try and put some pretty graphs together. And if you really want it, I'll put together an ebook. Again, just doing this to see if this helps. Hopefully it does. If not, no worries. I will stick to the traditional tried and true interview process. But wanted to throw this out and see what your reaction is. If you are listening in real time, because I'm recording this rarely the day before, 2 days before it actually goes out, have a very happy holiday period. I have been cranking away on lots of extra interviews, so January is going to be packed with interviews. It's a little bit lighter in December with Storybox, which gives me a little bit of time on the edges of my time to bust out some more interviews. Tons of great interviews coming your way, so stay tuned for those. Speaking of tuned, go to iTunes, leave a positive review. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any feedback whatsoever on other things that would help you, especially those of you who are on active duty, my goal is to really give you some weapons and arsenal to help that make that transition easier and help you figure out what you want to do once you get out. Definitely drop me a line, all ears for that feedback. Thank you, and I'll be back next week with more stories from veterans about their civilian career. Have a great week.